Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the IndusInd Bank Q3 FY16 analyst conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ramesh Sobti, Managing Director and CEO at IndusInd Bank. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and welcome to this analyst call. We already uploaded the quarter three investor presentation on the site, and the press release is also on record. So let me take you through quarter three performance, and then we'll open the session to questions. So I think the highlight of the year is clearly starting with the bottom line, a very healthy PAT growth of 30% year-on-year and 4% quarter-on-quarter. And this has been supported by very strong revenue growth, a revenue growth of 23%, which in turn has been supported by a 29% increase in our loan book and a 3 basis points improvement in the net interest margin, which goes up to 3.91%. I think the highlights are that both corporate and consumer grew, corporate 30% year-on-year and consumer 27% year-on-year. But sequentially, the consumer book grew faster than the corporate book. The consumer book grew by 7% and the corporate book by 3%. So the buttons we had pressed to start balancing the book seem to be activated and working now. And in a later part of the presentation, I will tell you what the loan book now looks like and where I think it's going to end by this fiscal. So the other part, of course, is the core fee income growth that has come out at 30%. So for, I think, the 31st quarter now, we are showing core fee growth ahead of loan growth. And the other highlight, I think, is the good traction on CASA, 28% YoY, with both SA and CA contributing healthily. But SA grew faster, and SA grew at 32%. So that's the, I think, the main headlines of quarter three performance. Qualitatively, I would say that the vehicle finance business has continued to show pretty good recovery, robust recovery, and the trending has become definitive. Disbursements were up 28% year-on-year, 6% quarter-on-quarter, and disbursements came up at around 5,250 crores. Last quarter was about 4,900 crores. So each quarter comes up slightly better than the previous quarter. We saw pretty healthy growth in MHCVs, and after a hiatus, we also saw growth in the two-wheeler book, which is more meaningful for us because of the high-yielding book that it is. So that plus other highlights were that we accelerated the branch opening program. So 51 branches were opened during the quarter, and we are now at, we ended the quarter at 905 branches. So those are the headlines. Just to take you through quickly some of the other features in this. So revenue growth was 30%, of which NII growth was as high as 36%. So the NII engine, in that sense, has also started kicking in. And you know that 2 years we suffered because of low, and NII growth used to be in the low double digits at 18%, 19%, 20%. NII growth is 36%, and sequentially also, NII growth has been 7%. Other income, as I mentioned, 29%, operating profit up 37%, and net profit up 30%. We also have given the nine-month figures, and nine-month figures are collations and reflect the same healthy profile that we see in the quarter three numbers. Other than that, return on assets, all the vectors that we measure, the earnings profile vectors, the key financial indicators, return on assets stable at 1.92, NIM slightly up from 3.88 to 3.91. ROE, of course, is down sequentially, because of the impact of the capital that was raised in July. So, you know, we work this out on the average capital base, and the averages this quarter, of course, are higher than the average for last quarter. So we are at around 14%, and the objective is always to bring it back into the 20s soon as possible. Other than that, the net NPA didn't move the needle so much. It was up 2 basis points at 0.33%, and our total capital base now exceeds it's close to 17,000 crores. As far as the loan book composition is concerned, if you look at the slide, slide 15 on the presentation, you see that if you exclude the diamond portfolio, then the consumer book, the retail book is at 44% of the total book, and the corporate is 56%, and last quarter it was 42. Last quarter it was actually 41. So this has moved up nicely along the lines that we expected. The loan book remains as diversified as ever. One or two new sectors have emerged in the loan book. You can talk about it in case you are interested, and you can ask us the questions on that. CASA traction, CASA, the CA and SA, you know, combination is now moved securely in favor of SA. So out of the total book of around about 30,200 crores, savings is accounts for 16,000 crores and current account is 14,000 crores. And if you recall, 2 years ago, it was just the opposite of what we are seeing now. Fee income I already talked about. Core fee has grown nicely. And the other trading part, year on year is of course up 28%, but trading quarter on quarter was more subdued and came in at 3%. Within the core fee income, I think all the vectors are showing upward movements. The foreign exchange income this quarter, for reasons that we can explain, remained a little subdued. Sequentially, it grew only 1%. Year on year also, it grew only 1%. But that's because of the uncertainty in the market, and lots of clients actually deferred hedging their bets because of waiting for the Fed announcements. Other than that, I think all the vectors are growing nicely, whether it's trade and remittances or distribution fees, general banking, loan processing, investment banking have moved up pretty smartly. An explanation of the increase in NIM comes from slide 21, where you see the yield on assets falling by 9 basis points and the cost of funds falling by 12 basis points, therefore an accretion of 3 basis points to the net interest margin, which comes at 3.91%. The credit cost has remained within our target range and has been very range-bound. Our credit cost for the quarter was 17 basis points, and if you take net of recoveries, then it's actually 15 basis points. And for the nine-month period, 43 basis points, net of recoveries, 40 basis points. So everything that the market has been talking about, whether it's the asset quality review or whatever, slippages and all have been built into this. And you see that the needle hasn't moved too much. And we are well and secure within our stated range and our stated objective of credit costs. We have given an NPA composition of consumer finance, the vehicle part, and you see that MHCV continues downtrending in its gross NPAs, which came up at 1.05% against 1.1%. So most of the vehicle categories are showing, I think, a downward movement, except a little movement on two-wheelers, which is non-material in terms of the absolute figure, and a slight uptick in the LAP side by about LAP, home loans, and PL all combined by about 16 basis points. So all range-bound. The capital adequacy ratio, this time we did not consume too much capital. There was conservation of capital because of a variety of factors. We can go into that later. But CRAR for the quarter was 16.43%, and the Tier 1 came up at 15.64%. So that's about it. I think the other part, of course, is the branch network we already talked about. Branch network has increased to 905. And the last slide actually is on the shareholding pattern, which does not show too much of change. So I think that's the, in a nutshell, is the performance for the quarter. And we'd be more than happy to take up questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Vikesh Gandhi of Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Good set of results. I had a couple of questions. One is, so your investment banking fee is running very strong. So if you can give some color around, you know, any particular deals that you would have done this quarter and any pipeline. And the second question I had was on your, you know, slide 17, you have a, you know, rating portfolio chart. In that, I'm just noticing that, you know, maybe it's a typo or something, but until last quarter, your, you know, cutoff for investment grade used to be BB+, and this quarter is showing cutoff at BB, which is one notch lower. So just wanted to understand that part.
Okay. First question is on investment banking.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so this is Sohail. I'll just talk about investment banking, and I think we've spoken about it in the past. Investment banking for us is effectively debt side businesses. We don't have any, at this point, any equity businesses. The way it works is that, you know, if you see the total, if you see the number over the last three quarters, you'll find it at approximately the same level. A few crores up or down.
Yes.
Approximately the same level. So, you know, it's about 6 to 7 deals, maybe sometimes 8 or 9, I mean, depending, but say between 7 and 9 deals that close every quarter. So there is a pipeline which generates that kind of activity. And with that pipeline, we end up closing approximately 7 to 9 deals. And the number is from those transactions comes to about this. So I can't really comment on specific transactions, but generally there are 7 to 9 transactions on this side which close during the quarter, and we end up at this number.
But maybe the in terms of qualitatively, whether they are syndicated.
So, yeah. So Rupa here. So we
yes,
did two, three broad nature of transactions. One was in the project financing aspect. We had started this initiative about a couple of quarters earlier. And we find that there are interesting, you know, refinancing opportunities of projects that have been operational recently, and people really are looking for some benefit in interest rates. So there is an opportunity to underwrite and syndicate these projects out in the market. So we did something in that space, two, three transactions there. There were some interesting opportunities in the real estate space where we financed largely almost constructed properties and then do the, you know, top-up kind of financing and then enable them to lease it out to a corporate so that within a very short period, the exposure then moves out into an LRD kind of a situation, which then finds very good market with nationalized banks. So few transactions in that space with it with very large, well-developed, with very large real estate developers. And then the rest of the thing was largely, you know, syndication deals that have got completed. So we did reasonably well with close to 3,500 odd crores of overall loans syndicated into the market over the last, 12 months, if you look at league tables, etc. So we did well in that aspect.
Ma'am, so basically, is it safe to assume, I mean, if I just do rough math, it comes down to like, you know, something like 14, 15 crores every deal that you make. Would it be as high as that?
No. It's not as high as that. I wish we made 14, 15 crores.
No, because you said 7 to 9 deals. So if I take an average of 8 and 100.
7 to 9 transactions that close on the syndication side. If you see the league tables, but not that's not the only transactions that.
Right.
Okay. Overall, for Q2 specifically, if you add all these 3-4 types of transactions that we have done, we closed close to 21 deals, number of deals. And in fact, if you look at the league table, IndusInd Bank is number 2 in terms of number of deals closed, just after FDI.
Okay.
See the Bloomberg table, you'll see that we are number 2 in terms of number of transactions taken to market.
Sure, sir.
And the other one is, of course, a typo.
It's a typo.
Okay,
sir. All right.
It should be 1 to the left. We'll correct that.
BB plus, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Samir Bise of Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks. Just wanted to get a sense.
Sorry to interrupt. Mr. Bise, could you speak a bit louder, please?
Yeah, sorry. Am I audible now?
A little better.
Yeah, so the yield on the consumer book has dropped a bit sharply. I mean, it's largely a fixed rate book, so just wanted to get a sense there.
Yeah, so I think the what you have to take into account is the change of mix. So, you know, the part of the book which is growing faster is the CV part, MHCV part. And MHCV is the lower end of the interest food chain. Right, and the highest part is the two-wheeler financing. So there's a mix change, and although it's a fixed rate book, there is a churn. So you know, every quarter, say there's a repayment on a monthly basis of what about 1,100-1,200 crores. So that gets replaced at the lower pricing in the market. So one is the change of mix between the distinct. The other is really the fact that the churn is happening within that. I think. We would expect overall some degree of stabilization now in this thing because we are getting into a sort of a run rate which will stabilize this. And also we are seeing a little bit uptick in the two-wheeler market as well.
Stabilization in terms of yield for this book?
Yes.
Cool. Thank you. And secondly, just wanted to break up of the provision line.
Yeah, so do you want to do that?
See, of the total provision of 177 crore, you look at the credit cost 141, the rest is the other provisions, which account for the standard asset provisions and other provisioning against intangibles and all that.
And its exposure.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mahrukh Arjania of IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, congratulations. Just have a couple of questions on your corporate loan mix. There seems to be a big uptick in steel and power. So just some explanation there.
Steel is, uptick is 12 basis points. That's a very small thing. So even if an existing customer utilizes the limits, that goes up by 10 or 12 basis points. It's only gone by 12 basis points. And what is the other one?
Power, telecom, too. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's some increase in the power transmission. So it's really all about transactions with highly rated groups. So, you know, that increase we are very comfortable about.
Okay, so it's largely transmission.
Yeah. If you look at the breakup, you'll find that the delta is on transmission.
Okay. Perfect. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nitin Kumar of Prabhudas Leeladhar. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Congratulations on good results, sir. Can you also throw some light on the loan processing fees, because that is also one line item which is very strong. Like, and what is the right way to look at it? Like, if I look at and compare it to the accretion in loan book, and as a percentage of that, how much is it coming up to? It's a very big number. How sustainable is that like?
Yeah, so I think there are two or three contributing factors on the loan processing piece. One, of course, you know that big portfolio of diamonds came in, And there you see, because we are lead and consortium leaders, there are pretty good hefty fees that come in for processing and renewals of the loan book. So that's the one additional piece that has come in. Plus, there has been growth in the loan book. So you're seeing a 28% growth, 27-28% growth in the corporate book. That's processing fees attached there. The CV, the vehicle finance book, also has processing fee, and that's also shown a pretty good growth quarter on quarter. That's growing better than the corporate book. So I think these factors combined have resulted in this loan processing fee hike. Plus renewals, if there's a bunching of renewals of existing loans, they also add to the processing fee, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So three or four factors actually really this thing. So
assets have grown.
Assets have grown, new disbursements have grown, renewals have happened, the diamond book has come in, the new to bank customers have come in. All that has resulted in this this increase.
I can also add to say that the fees on the retail side of the business, which is growing faster Q on Q, has a higher fee than the corporate side of the business.
So what would be this mix between retail and wholesale?
Almost 40% is now retail. Around 35% is retail.
Okay. And secondly, sir, on the branch expansion side, we still maintain that 1,200 target by FY17 end, like, because this year we have opened like close to 104 branches so far.
Yes, that target, so that's target for March 2017. That target still remains quite intact. We've taken stock of the impact of digitization and all that sort of stuff. We are very clear on how the branch needs to be reconfigured to accommodate the new trends on digitization, how much processing will be done in the branches, what is the staffing needs and all that. But at the end of the day, I think we are convinced that the brick and mortar must grow. So that target of 1,200 remains intact.
Okay, and this would not have any adverse bearing on the cost income ratio as such?
Well, see, cost income ratio may show fluctuation in a band of 1-1.5%, up or down, because branches get bunched and then depreciation comes in and things like that. Plus, of course, you know, the other element that affects this, there's related IT costs that come in. So there are large projects on IT which are coming on stream, you know, on the treasury side. So all that really impacts. So I personally, we feel that remaining in the mid-40s, up or down 1% or 2, I think that's going to be the range.
Okay, okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sheshadri Sen of JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Happy New Year to everyone and congratulations on very strong numbers. I had two questions. One is on the OPEX side, you know, at least optically, the growth seems to be fairly high. Now, I do appreciate there's a bit of a base effect last year, third quarter, year-on-year, quarter-on-quarter growth was fairly flat. But is the acceleration in the retail side also leading to a cost spike similar to the way there's a fee spike? That's my first question. And broadly, where do you expect OPEX growth to stabilize at going forward?
Well, I think the first point of call is that the growth in revenue still exceeds the growth in costs. That's what
absolutely,
we call it a positive scissor, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So there has been some bunching because these branches bunched together. So that's one impact. Then, of course, there is the ongoing impact of two large refreshes, operating system refreshes that we have done on the treasury side of the business. The hiring, of course, saw a spurt during this quarter because there was a catch-up on the previous two quarters' hiring. So I think that we will, as I said earlier, OPEX should remain in the mid-40 range, moving up or down 1 to 2%. We don't see surges and spikes to really hit us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Atul Mehra of Motilal Oswal Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Just one question on the fee income front and within that specifically on insurance. So with this open architecture now being talked about and so we have recently changed a partner within the insurance space from Aviva towards Tata AI. So how do we go from here? So would we continue to have one single insurer, or would we look at having three, which is the regulatory, the new regulatory limit as such?
The regulations are still coming out in the final parts, and it's only going to be applicable from April 1, number one. So as of today, you cannot have multiple partners. That's the regulation as of now.
Sure.
If the regulations do change, and which we are expecting it to change, I think we may see multiple partners in different types of businesses. So which businesses will have multiple partners, too early to comment. We are evaluating it. But I think we may see multiple partners in some parts of our businesses. So we do health, we do general insurance, and we do life. So specifically in general insurance, we may see a different partner, and maybe in life we are evaluating a different partner.
Right, but we've recently closed on Tata AI, right?
An additional partner.
Sure. So the current tie that we have is with Tata AI, and Aviva has been replaced with Tata AI. That's the current arrangement that we have.
Correct.
Sure. Yeah, that's it from my end. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayanan of Catamaran. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. I was observing that over the last 3 years, if you look at the consumer side of the business, the key growth has come from three segments. One is CV, second is car loan, third is LAP, right? Now, and you also mentioned on the call that two-wheelers is where the spread is good, and it's much more profitable. Now, any reason why, if you look at over a three-year period, I'm just comparing December 14, 15, and 13. The growth in two-wheeler business has been, has not been that significant. Was it a conscious choice, or you think that's quite risky and you didn't want to get in?
See, basically, we would like to enhance our presence in two-wheeler market. Only we and HDFC Bank, perhaps, have got the capacity to do close to about a million vehicles per annum.
Mm-hmm.
See, the issue is that the market for two-wheelers have remained flat.
Mm-hmm.
And two is that the finance market is shrinking.
Mm-hmm.
The two-wheeler market remaining flat and the finance market is shrinking. We are maintaining the market share. We are, in fact, enhancing our market share. And within the competition, we are enhancing this. Even though we are more or less flat, we have not degrown that particular area. But compared to other segments, it's lower. The mix is not favorable in terms of two-wheelers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then another question on LAP. LAP has actually grown quite significantly in the last 2-3 years, right? And what's the kind of loan-to-value ratio you actually have in LAP? And I mean, is it at a comfortable level as per your...
We do an LAP at about 48%.
Okay.
So our loan-to-value on a portfolio today is 48%.
Okay. Fine. And one last question on CVs, because you mentioned that CVs have grown significantly and also the allied fee income. Now, in CV market, what is the kind of geographical market share, or if you take your book, how does it split across regions?
See, we are the leaders in the commercial vehicle segment, and we are present in all. We don't have any geographical bias.
Mm-hmm.
We are more or less aligned with the market share of the manufacturers.
Okay, so
our presence is more or less in line with every manufacturer's market share.
Got it. Okay. And who are you taking market share away? Because your growth has been higher than the market growth in CVs.
See, fundamentally, okay. When the market really shrinks, when it was a downturn for the last couple of years, where the non-regular players vanished from the market. When the market picks up, those persons are... those persons enter fairly late. As a result, it is a phenomenon wherein the top four or five players always gain market share.
Mm-hmm. Got it, sir. And just one last question. What is your market share in CVs now?
I mean, it's a very ticklish question to answer, but we are the leaders.
Okay. It will be in the north of 15%?
I wouldn't say so.
Okay. Fine, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ashish Sharma of Enam Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. All my questions has been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Janvi Garadia of Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and congratulations. So my question is, I have two questions. First one on the LAP and credit card business. As you mentioned, the credit costs, the NPAs have actually spiked up a bit. So, and also, although the base of the book is small, but we've been growing very well. So, any color on that, and how do you see the NPAs trending ahead? And the second is on construction equipment book. That has also, started showing some traction. So, what kind of growth are you seeing there? What industries, what sectors?
So, on the credit card, the RBI changed the definition of the 30-plus number. And that is where the flow and the happening. It's a one-time change which has happened and will get corrected as we go along. So, this quarter, we had to do a one-time change on the reporting because of the RBI directive. That's number one. That answers your questions on the credit card.
Sure.
On the LAP, I think there are two cases which have flown in, which we believe. We don't see such a trend which has emerged, which will always be under 50 basis points. So we will be around 50 basis points on the gross NPA number as we go along.
And on the construction equipment,
yeah,
we are present in the retail construction equipment segment. Basically, the segment of JCB, backhoe loaders, forklifts, and these are predominantly for meant for retail applications, more so in road construction and the mining industry, and it follows the same pattern as that of commercial vehicle. Most of our commercial vehicle customers are also construction equipment customers. Therefore, when the market for commercial vehicle enhances, this also piggybacks on that.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from N.B. Mahesh of Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir. Sir, Rajesh, if I have understood this correctly, is it right that you had a disbursement of about 5,250 crores in the vehicle finance book?
Yeah, that's right. Yes. This quarter.
Okay. Just trying to understand that number, because if you look at last quarter, we had a book of about 25,000 crores. 5,250 crores disbursement, and if you adjust that with the change, the net change that you're seeing out there, the repayment rate appears to be fairly high.
Yeah, it's about 1,100 to 1,200 crores per month, Mahesh. The repayment is about 1,100 to 1,200 crores per month.
Sorry?
The repayment, depletion is about 1,100 to 1,200 crores per month, which is about, on an average, anywhere about 3,500 crores. Therefore, when you do close to about 5,250 crores, the net accretion to the book is about 1,600 to 1,700 crores.
But the average duration of the book is at least about 18 to 20 months, right?
Yeah, in commercial vehicle, the duration is anywhere about 36 months. And in two-wheeler, it is about 24 months. It's a mixed bag. The average book door-to-door is anywhere about 24, 25 months. And the average tenor is about 20 to 22 months.
Okay. Okay. The second question is on the investment book. If I look at this quarter, there has been some drop in the overall interest income on investments, yet investment book is up on a QOQ basis by about 5%. If I do the calculated yield on investment, it comes to about 6.5%. Just trying to understand, are we missing something in this?
So I think possibly what you're taking into account is the gross number and the ENR number.
Yeah.
So basically what
yeah.
So there's a repo that we also do with the RBI at times to time. So that number is subtracted from that. So as a result, you will see the drop in the total interest amount.
Okay, the impact of that would come in the other interest income line, right?
No, it comes in the same head of investments.
Okay, but then why is there such a big difference in the yields?
It should not be, right? But he's calculating yields on the year end, on the quarter end. So the averages are
lower.
Okay. Okay. My last question is on that the other provisions that you have reported this quarter. You've indicated about 35 crores is general provisions which pertains to standard assets. Why is that such a high number considering that last quarter you had a one-off provisions out there? Trying to understand, this quarter was there anything?
No, I believe there is some disconnect. You know, what we said was that of 177 crore of total provisions, 141 pertains to NPA. And the rest is clubbing of other provisions, which includes standard asset provisions and some other provisions.
Standard asset.
Any one line item which is the dominating number in this?
Yeah, standard
is the dominant part. Plus there is a provision for unhedged exposures. That also comes in here.
Yeah. All floating provisions and this thing. All other provisions come here.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Hiren Dasani of Goldman Sachs Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Sir, I don't know whether this question has been answered, but if you can clarify on the communication with the RBI on some of this troubled accounts, and did we have to classify anything during the quarter, or are we still in dialogue with them for some accounts?
So I think that the number that you see absorbs everything that has happened in the last quarter. All activities, all actions are now included in this. Having said that, I would say that there weren't any unpleasant surprises for us. I mean, the assets that we were going to classify as NPA in the quarter are the assets they also highlighted. So there's no surprises. There's no surprise element as far as we are concerned. And that's why you see that the credit cost has moved up by just 2 basis points. And net of recovery, actually, it is flat.
So should we assume that going forward, there are no further large accounts on which the discussions are still going on?
No, say.
As far as IndusInd is concerned, I mean.
Yeah, no. So point is that RBI has given a distinct that you do it over 2 quarters, and the accounts that we had identified are the accounts that they had identified, right? So we are quite clear that there is no, what do you call it, gray areas in this regard.
So, I mean, when you say 2 quarters, you mean it was all December quarter.
The guidelines given by RBI.
Yeah.
Whatever is identified needs to be done over 2 quarters. As far as we are concerned, we are not doing that piece. Those which became NPA are the ones we showed as NPA, period. So we were not driven by any regulatory guidelines, but I'm saying generally, they are allowing banks to do it over 2 quarters.
Sure. But just to be clear, there are no large chunky accounts on which discussions are still going on, whether to classify them or not, as far as IndusInd Bank is concerned with RBI.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Anish Tavakli of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks very much for taking my question. Wanted to sort of understand two things. The gems and jewelry portfolio, if I had understood it correctly, was a very trade finance intensive portfolio. Yet the non-funded exposures there are quite small, actually. In contrast, if I look at, stuff like steel or construction, the non-funded exposure is much larger. So could you just explain what kind of non-funded business we are doing in construction and why the non-funded exposure is so high there versus, a trade finance portfolio like gems and jewelry where non-funded is one-tenth of the funded portfolio? So that was the first question. And the second is, I think in response to a question earlier, the deals that were being described for investment banking, we were talking about real estate and stuff, project finance deals. Could you tell me whether you actually put your balance sheet above in the period when you take on these unfinished projects? And what would be the holding period for these assets on your own loan book before you sell them down? Yeah. Those are the two questions.
Okay. So first part is really the diamond portfolio. See, the diamond portfolio doesn't have things like guarantees and those sort of issues. Even LCs are rare in the this thing because they have, you know, established buyers and this and that. We don't have to work through LCs. So there are actually no LCs.
So that's basically open trade then.
They're all, yeah. But trade is done through pre-shipment and post-shipment finance.
It's funded.
It's funded credit. Pre-shipment and post-shipment. And, you know, these are all site holders. Site holders have a special stature in the market. So they don't, the era of LCs and all was long abandoned. 20 years ago also they never worked on LCs at all.
So there's not much transaction banking income from that portfolio, is it?
Yeah, correct. No, funding income. Mostly it's funding income. Okay. Plus, you see, there is the fees. Bills are sent for collection without any lending attached to it. So collection bills are a very large volume, right, where they don't borrow another thing. Plus, you have FX income out of that. So foreign exchange income comes out of trade. Lending income comes out of trade. There are some floats also which come out of this thing. So there is... I think the exposure, non-fund exposure, will be more on the FX side, where you would cover forward covers and things like that. Right? So it's not a surprise. This is how this portfolio works. There are no LC guarantees and things like that. Right? Second question is on your.
But then what kind of guarantees are there in the construction business and in the steel business? Is there no like. Like, what's the term of the guarantees? What would you
LCs are there. Well, see, Steel Authority of India opens LCs for coking coal.
Coal LCs and performance guarantees.
And performance guarantees.
That's for construction. So they're actually completely different industries. They have completely different needs. The raw material import, for example, doesn't need LCs in diamonds. It does need LCs in the steel.
I actually understand that. My question was really to understand the term, how long-term are the guarantees.
Construction typically will need a bid bond before mm-hmm. they get the contract, and once they get the contract, they will need two kinds of guarantees, performance as well as advance payment guarantees. So bid bonds tenors could be 3 months or 6 months at the most, and the advance payment guarantees could be for the tenor of the contract. So if it's a 12-month, 18-month contract, it will be for 18 months. If it's a 3-year contract, it could be for 3 years.
So they could be fairly long term then.
Yeah, it could vary from 1 year to 3 years.
Okay, that's what I wanted to understand.
Yeah.
And there was a second question also.
Right? Second question was whether we put anything on our
balance sheet
relating to syndication. Yeah. First of all, normally if we take a loan to market, we rarely take it without putting some amount on our books. So we always have some skin in the game. Very rarely do we do a syndication which is 100% sold down on day one. We may sell down a loan over a period of time to zero. But generally, when we do the syndication, we always have a certain amount that is stayed on that stays on our books because, first of all, we have to demonstrate confidence in the credit to ourselves and to the market. So, yes, some amount of balance sheet is always there when we take loans out into the market. Sell-down periods, usually, I would say, you know, about 6 months is the average that we take for a sell-down.
So, there is a residual balance sheet that is right there. It's a transitory balance sheet. So it transits, and I think we had given this figure earlier once that it's in the vicinity of about 3,000 crores.
Yeah.
That's the sort of average that we have. But it's transitory.
Transactions. Yeah. So, you know, today it will be relating to 10 different transactions. Tomorrow it may be 10 different transactions. So it comes and goes on our books.
If it's 3,000 crores, then 100 crores would be about...
Don't try and get into complex calculations based on averages because this 3,000 can relate to transactions that I did 6 months back.
I understand. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for taking the question.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Jigar Walia of OHM Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations and thank you. So just one question. How much would be our international or FX loans? And there was an RBI notification suggesting 2% standard provision. So does this impact the business potential growth of viability for these in the growth outlook?
Yeah, so that the RBI guideline is where we lend from India to a company abroad.
Yes.
We hardly have any of those in our portfolio, so it won't affect us at all. The FCY loans that we have is lending to the local corporates in FCY. And that doesn't change the provisioning there.
Perfect, perfect. And that as a percentage of our corporate book would be a box or in value-wise?
Yeah, it's about 20-odd percent.
Yeah. Okay. Corporate.
20-odd percent of the corporate book.
Approximately 20% of the corporate book, not of the total assets.
Yeah. Perfect, perfect. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nilanjan Karfa of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. Three questions. So, first one is the CE, the construction equipment. Now, if I'm right, I think this portfolio has started growing. I mean, is it a broader reflection on higher utilization of equipments? And could you specify where exactly is this happening?
I thought that I had answered this query earlier. We are basically into retail construction equipment, which are similar to that of JCB, backhoe loaders, spokelines, and earth moving equipment predominantly.
Okay.
These are used in road segments primarily, and for doing small jobs like culverts, canals, and things like that. And they begin right on our existing commercial vehicle customer portfolio. It's a supplementary or a complementary portfolio.
Okay. Second question, I think this was also asked, but if I look at the cost as a percentage of assets, right, that's another way of looking at it. And it has been actually growing, last couple of years and quarters, and it's actually rising. It's probably standing today a little north of 3%. How would you look at, would you even look at this ratio? Does it make sense? Or, if you could have some color on this?
This is not a ratio that we really watch.
Okay.
The ratio we watch related to assets is the fee to assets ratio. I think that's much more critical for us, because that is a linkage straight to capital usage. How much fee do you get out of lending, using your capital and using your balance sheet? But cost to assets, the correlation is, because a lot of the costs relate to businesses which have deposit gathering. So assets don't really come into play there. A lot of assets, a lot of the costs relate to fee-raising businesses. So the branch network, for instance, mm-hmm. is not asset-based. The branch banking business is mostly liabilities and fee.
Okay.
And that's where a major chunk of the cost is going.
Okay. All right. Third question is on NPA. So we are seeing, slight deterioration in the two-wheeler portfolio. Obviously, you may not be providing for it enough. If you look at the gross NPA number in two-wheelers, now I think standing at 3%. Is this because of weakness in the rural demands, or how would you look at this?
I would rather think that
absolute
figures are fairly low, and 3% in two wheelers is considered to be fairly good for the kind of spread what we make and things like that. It's in line with the industry, or it's much better than the industry.
See, the product program allows for delinquencies up to 6%.
Okay.
Delinquencies have been here, number one. Number two...
You would mean net credit losses. I'm sorry to interrupt. You would mean net credit losses, not a gross...
NPA.
NPA.
You are gross NPA.
Gross NPA.
Okay.
Net credit losses is in the region of... combined net credit losses in the region of close to about anywhere between 50 and 70 basis points.
Okay.
And you see the absolute number, the gross NPA increased by 9 crores.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so that's the materiality of this NPA.
Okay. Okay. Related question, the same, slide 23. Did we sell any portfolio to the ARC this quarter?
Yeah. So you see asterisk there in the same slide.
It's 53.
53 crores is a sale and 22 crores was the recovery. So the net increase in the SR book
right.
was 31 crores.
So what is the total SR we are carrying today?
260 crores.
Okay, and at the end of last year, this was 160 crore roughly?
No, it was around 200 crores. I don't have the exact figure now, but last quarter was 229.
Okay.
Quarter 260. Last year's figure I'll give you later.
Sure, I'll take it from you later. Sorry, last question again. If I look at the LCR numbers, right, it's been, I think the Q1 it was down to around 64-65, then Q2 it went up. Exactly what is happening? I know there's a lot of numbers which go there depending on how the liquidity fluctuates at the lower end.
Liquidity coverage issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's over 60%.
Yeah, well, we meet the target up to December was 60%, so we've always been...
70%.
Yeah.
It was down in Q1, then it went up to, I think, 74-75 in Q2. It's again down to 65.
See, that's the dynamism of the balance sheet. So your deposit profiles and things like that, they don't remain constant. But as long as we meet the 60% threshold by RBI, I think we are okay.
All right. Thanks.
You wanted the SR numbers, no?
Yeah, March.
Yeah, it was 223 last year, 15.
223. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. We will take a last question from the line of Rishi Arya of Canara HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on good set of results. So most of my questions are answered. One last thing. Sir, on the dialogue with RBI, I recently hear in some news that now they are probably reviewing the restructured book and probably asking banks to make additional provision. What's your view in this? I mean, you've also had such discussion, or is it not to all banks? Anything on that?
Yeah, I think what they're saying is that you should, on the restructured book, you should reach a figure of 15% by making 2.5%
on failed restructuring.
Yes, that's it. On the restructuring which have failed, not on the restructured book, but those which have failed, there you have to make 15%, and there they are saying you should add about 2.5% every quarter, starting from 1st April.
Okay. And then how do they define failed? I think, is there clarity or clear definition?
No, there isn't. What they are saying is that if the restructuring terms and conditions as set out in the agreement have not been entirely adhered to,
okay,
then cases you will have to provide. So there isn't any clear definition of fail.
Okay. And how are we placed on that? Any internal assessment so far?
No, we are okay. We have no significant figures.
No pipeline right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you very much.
Thank you. I now hand the floor back to Mr. Ramesh Sobti for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Well, thank you for joining us. I'm sure there will be many more questions on a one-on-one basis, and we'll be more than happy to interact with all of you off this table. Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of IndusInd Bank, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.